Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there is enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I am so excited today because I have Tess with me. Tess graduated with a finance degree and became a financial advisor after spending 9 years in corporate finance. Working with professional women and women entrepreneurs is her passion. She enjoys simplifying complex personal finance topics into actionable steps for clients to implement and feel more confident about their money. Welcome, Tess. It's so great to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Caroline. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you. And we would just love to dive into your journey. How did you get here today? What were those steps? I'm sure it's a lot, but if you could put it in a nutshell and then we'll dive further into it.
Yes. So I like to tell people that I spent 9 years in corporate finance. And even though it was a great learning experience for me, because I graduated super young, I was a 20-year-old. I didn't really know what I wanted out of my career. Like most of us really don't. It's just trial and error. And 9 years in, I felt so unhappy and I was stuck in a position that was so repetitive, like day in and day out. It felt like deja vu. And I just knew that there had to be something out there that could make me happier, because I didn't want to be looking forward to the next vacation. I didn't want to always be looking for an escape from my day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. So that's when I went and I saw a career coach. I was pregnant with my first, and I just wanted to find something that would make me happy. I didn't want to give up working. I didn't want to be a stay-at-home mom just because, you know, I didn't want to lose myself, and my career was always something super important to me personally. Mm-hmm. So I worked with a career coach, and funny enough, one of the things that she suggested was that I would be a good social worker. or therapist. And I think that makes sense for my personality because I love helping people. Mm-hmm. But I had so much financial knowledge that I knew I really wanted to utilize with the work I do. So that's when I found this profession, because I feel like financial advising is the combination of therapy work, social work with financial advice, and, you know, just really simplifying the topic of money. And normalizing the conversation, yes, since it's still such a taboo topic and nobody really talks about it, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, it's so interesting too, because it isn't talked about enough, especially for women. And I think it's really important to continue that conversation. I talk to a lot of men. They're like, oh, I wish more women would invest or do these things. Yeah. And so I'm curious, with your experience, especially all the finance background, what has been things that you've learned along the way that you're constantly educating your clients on or others as well?
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I am super passionate about is making sure that all women take a seat at the table when it comes to their family's finances. And I see this a lot in Facebook groups, you know, on Reddit posts. I see so many women trying to separate from an abusive relationship, or, you know, a spouse who's just not making them happy anymore, unfortunately, right? People change, and marriage doesn't always last forever as much as we would like it to last forever. Yeah. But a lot of times, because these women stopped working, mm-hmm, to usually care for the kids, you know, they have no income, no job. They feel like their skills are kind of outdated because they have a gap on their resume now, and they weren't involved with the family's finances. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, they're just kind of blindfolded, and it's not a good feeling. And they feel like they're forced to stay in this relationship simply because they're financially dependent on that spouse. Mm-hmm. And I don't want women to be stuck in a situation like that, especially with young kids, especially in an abusive situation. right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's so true, because a lot of, like, you see movies or shows mm-hmm. about it, and it's just, it's real life too. And there are so many people that do struggle. And I've seen that, like, when I was practicing therapy as well, just being able to see the clients that they were going through really difficult situations, but they weren't set up for success financially.
Yes.
And so what are ways we can set ourselves up successfully financially?
Mm-hmm. So interesting enough, you know, Father's Day just passed, and mm-hmm. I had written a post on LinkedIn about my own dad and some of the lessons that I learned from him mm-hmm. about money.
Yeah.
And I always say that the one that sticks out the most is he always told me and my older sister that education is so important, right? And that college degree is top priority because, hey, at least when you have that college degree, nobody can take it away and you don't have to rely on a man financially. Mm-hmm. And so looking back, I'm so glad that I have my college degree because it's always my plan B, right? It's my fallback. Mm-hmm. If something happens, you know, if marriage falls apart or whatever, you can go back and you can get, you know, a well-paying job.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That is 100% true. And that's, my dad always said that too, because it's like, you can never get it taken away. And it's just building upon that and knowing mm-hmm. that, like, you went the distance to get the college education. And I know it's very different now, even just sure. with how the world is working and online mm-hmm. space and how people right. can create an income without going to school. Yes. But it is something that nobody can take away because mm-hmm. your business could fail. Things could go wrong, but being able to have that college education can really be beneficial. It's one avenue, especially if somebody gets married young or mm-hmm. they're financially reliant on their spouse or family or anything along those lines too. I think it's really important just to look at the options mm-hmm. because there's no right or wrong way, but it's just looking at what makes sense for us, especially as women too, because even just like the pay aspect. Mm-hmm. And do you have any thoughts around like pay of like how men sometimes make a little bit more than women depending on the space they're in?
Yes. I mean, it's such an unfortunate reality, right? That we're in year 2022 and they still say that, you know, women on average make whatever the stat is, 90 cents on the dollar or 80 some cents on the dollar. I think it just depends on the job and the career.
Right.
But I think, you know, I think one way that we can fight that really is by normalizing the conversation. Again, let's make the data available, right?
Yeah.
Because I was in corporate finance and guess what? Nobody talks about who makes how much, right? Your salary is kind of top secret. You don't talk about it. Mm-hmm. But bottom line, who's that really benefiting? It's not benefiting us as the workers, right? As the employees.
Right.
It's benefiting the corporations because they can pay whoever, whatever they choose, right? Mm-hmm. I think if we were more honest and transparent about salaries across the board, mm-hmm. we could, you know, we could close the gap.
Yeah. And the gap needs to be closed, quite honestly.
Of course.
You look at a lot of households, like it's been shifting a little bit where the women mm-hmm. are the breadwinners now based off of like online businesses or just taking matters into their own hands as well. And I've seen that shift. I don't know if you've seen that shift as well with like your clients mm-hmm. that you work with as well.
Yes. I love seeing that shift. And you know, I kind of feel like it's generational. So the millennials are doing much better. And then the Gen Zers are, you know, taking it even one step further. It's just continuous progress with the generations.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I'm so fortunate because I have so many clients where the woman is making at least as much as the husband, if not more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, equal economic partnership.
Yeah. Yes, I love it. I'm all about empowerment for women, but also empowerment for equality and just being able to rise above all the things that happen day in, day out in our society. But I'm curious, what are some misconceptions about financial advisors?
Gosh, there is so many misconceptions.
Let's hear them.
Yeah, let's hear them. I think here's a big one. There's still this notion that the only people who need a financial advisor are people who are already wealthy, right? Mm-hmm. And now wealthy is a subjective term because some people think you're not wealthy until you have $1 million, or some people think you have to make $1 million a year to be wealthy and really see a financial advisor. That's not the reality though. Mm-hmm. I'm a certified financial planner, and a lot of my clients are college graduates who are just starting out. You know, they have their first job, they're making a healthy six-figure income. And because they didn't take personal finance classes, or they weren't a finance major like me, right, they don't know all the things that they could be doing with their money. Right. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of clients say, oh, you're more like a coach, right? We view you as a coach. But a lot of what I do is, you know, coaching and understanding what's important to that person so we can create a plan to help them feel more confident about their money and take the necessary steps so they are set up, you know, both in the short term and the long run for financial success.
Absolutely. And what would, I know you said you work with recent grads that are getting that first six-figure salary. Yeah. What does it look like, maybe a recent success story you've had with one of your clients that you could share with us?
Yeah. So actually, I love this one. I just started working with a small business owner. Mm-hmm. She's here in Florida, and she's got beauty stores throughout the state of Florida. And so she's making a great income, but she didn't really understand how to set herself up for the future. So, you know, some of the things we helped tackle included, well, how do I pay for my son's college one day? Do I have the proper life insurance in place? What happens if I can't work in my business, right? Can I have something to help me replace that income? So that's when we look at disability insurance. And then just, you know, some tax planning strategies to reduce how much we pay in taxes so you get to keep more of your money. Mm.
Smart. Well, it sounds like a success story to me and very important too. Just all those things to think about as well. Like, especially when you're starting a business, it's just life insurance. If you have children, like the future, just being able to be aware of what that looks like for you, because everyone's going to be a little different. And that's why it's important to have a financial planner. But I'm curious, what have been some of the roadblocks getting you to here today? Have there been any roadblocks?
Yeah. I think as entrepreneurs and small business owners, we all have roadblocks and difficulties we go through. I was pregnant. I was 7 months pregnant when I decided to make the transition. And I had only known what it's like to be a W-2 employee. So taking that leap of faith to quit my job while I was pregnant and send in my 2-week notice, that was a huge challenge. I mean, I constantly had nightmares about having to go back and, well, what if I made the wrong decision? You know, what if this doesn't work out? So there were definitely a lot of fears involved with leaving a stable job where I knew what the career trajectory looked like to becoming a small business owner where I had no idea what it was going to look like 5 years or 10 years down the road. but, you know, the excitement of, well, what if this worked out was way greater than the fear. So I just kept going. And I think that's one of the most powerful things when you're running your own business, because it's got so many risks. Mm-hmm. You just have to, you know, you just have to keep going and think, well, what if this works out? You know, what could that look like? And just be persistent and stick with it. I think that's, you know, that's the reason why I'm still here, because there were so many times that I wanted to give up because things weren't happening as quickly as I wanted them to happen. I think that's the most frustrating part about the journey, because I thought, well, as soon as I announce to the world that I'm a financial advisor, all my colleagues are going to come knocking on my door, right? And that did not happen. And one of the biggest reasons is, again, you know, most people don't want to work with a friend when it comes to financial advising because it's so personal. And so they feel like, well, she's my friend and I don't really want her to know everything about my personal finances. So it took time. It took time to, you know, to build a successful practice financially to where I could, you know, replace my prior income.
I believe it. And I know a lot of people listening have probably experienced that too. And what helped you push through it? Because I know a lot of people experience the self-doubt or should I do this or the fear of not like making it happen. But what really allowed you to continue moving forward?
Right. So I always attribute my taking the leap of faith in the first place to having a solid understanding of my finances and our family's finances, right?
Yes.
Because me and my husband treat our finances like a partnership. So it's not, this is what I bring and this is what you bring. It's, this is what we bring to our household and how do we make that work, right?
Yeah.
And so we had made it so our budget only depended on his income at the time when I quit my job, because that way it took the pressure off knowing that we're going to have our baby and I'm, you know, I didn't even know what to expect being a first time mom, but I kind of suspected that at least the first year I wasn't going to make very much. So that helped significantly, reworking our budget to only live on one income. Having a supportive spouse, of course, is key. I had done a great job saving, so we had a bigger cash cushion going into starting my own business. That was super helpful.
Yes.
And I think just kind of sticking with it, really, and knowing that if I do this long enough, you know, if I take the necessary steps, it's going to work out. You got to have faith.
Yes.
It's going to work out.
Couldn't agree more. And you're right. I think it's good to recognize too, because everyone has a different story. And so I love bringing on different people too and hearing your story too. It's having that supportive spouse, but also I love that you said like the money's a partnership too, because like what we were talking about earlier, some individuals might not know all their finances. So if there is divorce or there is something that happens, they're not always aware of it, but it's really important to be aware of your finances. I know that's something like my mom has always instilled in me as well, like just in general of understanding, okay, well, how much money do you have? How do you break it out? How do you have your different accounts? All those things to just be more aware. But I think it's really important that you touched on the partnership too, because a lot of times it's like, well, this is my bank account. This is my bank account. Like, how do you feel about spouses having like separate bank accounts and then joint bank accounts?
So as a financial advisor, I always try to lead with empathy and I leave the judgments aside. So I have seen couples successfully navigate their finances either using separate accounts or joint accounts. What I will say is, for me personally, I grew up in a household where everything was joined. So it definitely felt more like a true partnership, because, you know, because it was like, okay, we're, you know, we're in this together. Everything's divided equally. We make decisions together based on what we feel is most important, right? Versus, you know, sometimes when it's treated separate, it can kind of create this divide and this feeling like, oh, so you make your money and I make my money and we can kind of do whatever we want with it without talking about it jointly. I think there always has to be at least the communication, and you have to work towards the same goals, right? You have to have similar goals and similar values for it to be, in my opinion, a successful partnership.
Yeah, I love that perspective because I was just curious. I mean, maybe somebody else is too, but
sure.
No, I think that is really true too. It's, I mean, everyone can look at it from a different perspective, but I can appreciate that perspective of it is that partnership and just that equality. Mm-hmm. Again, like what we've been talking about this whole time as well. Yeah. And so I'm curious, with being a mom of two, how have you been navigating motherhood and entrepreneurship?
So I have stumbled along the way and learned along the way. I will say, when I had my first son 7 years ago, I was studying for my license exams, and I was so laser focused on, you know, just getting my licenses so I could even embark on this career as a financial advisor. Mm-hmm. And I think back and I think, gosh, I missed some of those moments, you know, those special moments of being a first time mom, but I was so focused on my career. So I try to do a little bit better with my second son, right? Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you know, you have to forgive yourself. Nobody is perfect, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think there is a perfect balance. You just, you know, sometimes you're going to focus on work more, and other times you're going to focus on being a mom more. And I think it's more about, you know, when you're a mom, just focus on that 100% or as much as you can. And when you're doing your work, just focus on that as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. I think that's wise words. And it can be very challenging from all the moms I've spoken to, all the moms that watch. I know it can be challenging. I'm not a mom. I'm a dog mom, but that's not the same thing. but you're right. It absolutely is, like, being present for those moments as much as you can, because you're right, nobody is perfect, and it's always a balancing act. There's no handbook for being the best parent, and it's being the best you can at with what you have as well. And that's what I'm hearing from you.
Yes. I think let's give ourselves some grace. We don't have to be a perfect mom, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If that exists, I don't know if that exists.
No, I don't think it does.
So if somebody is watching that might want to be a CPA or is in that journey of entrepreneurship, what are two or three tips you could give them that you wish you might have known in the beginning?
I think the biggest tip is definitely have patience and be realistic about how quickly you can hit your goal. Because there's plenty of social media ads out there. I'm sure you've seen them, and I've fallen for some of them, which promise you overnight success, right? You're going to buy their program, and the next day you're going to be, you know, a seven-figure small business owner. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen that fast. So no. So you just have to be realistic and be persistent enough to just keep going.
Yeah. I mean, those are very true with anything we do. It doesn't happen overnight. We're not an expert. I know, just even in sports, we don't, some people are naturally great, but you know, it takes a little bit of work, or just even in getting a degree. It doesn't happen overnight. You have to go to the classes. You have to take the tests. You have to do all those things, especially with entrepreneurship there. It doesn't happen overnight. If you look at any successful person, they did not just become successful the next day. There is so much work behind there. So just remembering that too, I think like what you're saying, I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Well, Tess, I've been having such an amazing conversation with you. I've been loving it. But we're going to jump into the rapid fire questions if you're ready for them.
Go for it.
Okay. The first question is, what motivates you to work smarter?
I think just realizing that life is short, and especially once you have kids, you know, they grow up so fast. So you really have to be as efficient and as effective as possible with your time, so you can spend those special moments with your kids while they still want to be around you.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. Well said. So if you were a superhero, what power or powers would you have?
Oh my goodness. You know, I've always thought that I want to be invisible. I think that would be just really cool to mess with people. And I would like to, you know, spend the day at the grocery store and just kind of eat everything. I love food. I know that's crazy, but yeah.
It's not crazy. It's good. It's good for the soul. So speaking of food, if you were to share a meal with four individuals, living or dead, who would they be?
Yes, I think my dad's parents who passed some years back, because they practically raised me and my sister. They were always around growing up. So I would love to see them one more time.
That would be amazing. Any other two people you would like to join that table?
Probably my dad and my sister, so they could, you know, share some stories.
That would be a fun table. Yeah. What is the most daring thing that you've ever done?
Oh, goodness. I'm not a very daring person.
I hear that a lot. People are like, I'm not daring, but I feel like maybe.
Yeah. I don't like any high risk activities. And I think it's because I'm a financial advisor. So I'm always thinking about like, how do we manage risks? So I try to avoid high risk activities. Probably skiing is as far of a, you know, as much of a risk as I've taken.
Skiing is very risky, just or daring, just to kind of comment on that. I went for the first time here in Denver a few back in like February. And yeah. I was like, oh, okay, like, I'll try it, no big deal. But literally, if you go down, like, there's, like, just string attached from tree to tree, and you could, like, fall off the cliff. I was like, why do people do this for fun? I don't understand. Yes. And then by the end, I was like, okay, it's not so bad.
Yeah, I think it's scary. And my aunt actually lost a tooth skiing, so... So ever since that incident, I was like, I really don't want to go skiing.
It's dangerous and daring. So more power to you. I just had a comment on that because I'm like, oh my God, that is one of the most daring things. I didn't think it would be that daring, but it's daring.
Right.
Oh, my heart really is like going a little faster. Thinking about it. Was that recent or was that a while ago?
It was a few years back. My husband dragged me. And, you know, I think for people who have skied all their life from when they were little, it's not as daring. But for someone who tries it for the first time when they're in their late 20s, it's scary as heck.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't agree more. What is the phone app that you use the most?
Oh, goodness. The phone app that I use the most. A little embarrassed to say it, but Facebook, because I'm always on Facebook for my business and I just love seeing what my friends are up to.
Yeah, I think that's a great tool. And it's great for business and connecting. Yeah. That's what it's about, right?
Totally.
And what is the last book that you've read?
Oh, the last book that I read is by Kendra Hall, and it's about storytelling.
Ooh.
It's a really good one for small business owners. And it's just about the power of stories, really.
I mean, they're powerful. It's how you move people.
Absolutely.
So if you were to have a movie about your life thus far, who would play you?
I love Julia Roberts. She's got just the biggest smile. It's from ear to ear. I love her.
She is a phenomenal actress.
Yes.
I will give you that. What is your favorite family recipe, whether it's traditional or you just love making it together?
Okay. So I love food, in case you didn't catch that already. And I love cooking. Mm-hmm. And not only is it healthier than eating out all the time, but I also love the fact that it saves you money. Yes. Yes. But I grew up cooking. I've been cooking since I was a little girl. Literally at the age of 7, my mom would call me and she would be like, hey, can you, you know, peel some potatoes and stick them in the oven? So I there's so many things I love to cook, but probably crepes are one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. So they're like the pancakes, but the really thin ones. And everybody's always impressed when I make crepes for them. So I figure, okay, that's my special sauce.
Ooh, that's good. What kind of crepes do you make?
So I stuff them with just about anything you can think of, you know, the cheese and deli meat, or like a mushroom cream sauce or jam. Nutella is always a good one, with walnuts sprinkled, just about anything.
Well, I'm sure it is delicious, and I'm sure people are coming back for more.
Yeah, now I'm hungry, actually, thinking.
Same. So if you had to describe yourself as an animal, personality, type, style, what animal would you be?
Oh my gosh. probably an elephant. Mm-hmm. Because elephants, they say they're super, super emotional and super intelligent, and they take care of their babies forever. And mm-hmm. I feel like I'm a mama elephant, so.
I could see that. Very nurturing.
Yes.
And so if you have a day off, so you're not working with any clients, you have anything you can do, what's your favorite way to spend that day off?
Ooh, I'm hitting the beach. Mm-hmm. I just love the beach. It just rejuvenates me, and I feel whole again, completely refreshed.
Yes, the beach has that effect.
Yes.
And what's something an outsider wouldn't know about your industry?
That's a good one. I think the biggest thing is, you know, most financial advisors really love helping people, which is why we got into the industry. And most of us are self-proclaimed money nerds, including me.
It's a good thing to be. I think it's very important as well. But Tess, I've been enjoying this conversation. I'm so glad you came on today. But before I let you go, where can people find you, hire you? We'll link everything below in the description, but if you could let us know too.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So the easiest way to get a hold of me is check out my website. It's www.truewealthy.com. And my calendar link is actually right on my website. I make it super easy for people to get a hold of me. So if you have questions and you need answers, just schedule 30 minutes with me.
Oh, love it. Well, thank you again, Tess, for taking the time today, being so open on your journey, but also how we can really help women in particular when it comes to finances and just knowing that they have resources and continuing to make those resources known. So thank you again, Tess, and we're so glad we had you on today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Tess? What did you learn about financial advice? Anything along those lines, write in the comments so she can see it as well, because I'm sure she would love to see it. And we'll see you on the next video.